whole of Colossians chapter 3, living as those made alive in Christ. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Instructions for Christian households. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favour, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism. This is the word of the Lord.
Right. Okay. Now, if you come along on Tuesday evenings to discipleship training, you're going to be all over this passage. This is just lots of the dynamics that we've been exploring over the last couple of terms are just kind of all coming together in this. So if you just forgive me for a moment while we catch everybody else up to what's going on. This is a slide that we use on Tuesday evenings, and it will help us really understand what Paul is talking about as he begins to work us through this, what's going on in Colossians 3 here. I want you to, Okay, in the Bible, the way the Bible works, the way the Bible sees the world is there are actually two creations, two worlds that are existing alongside each other. Right? There's the world that is, if you like, outside of Christ. And it's a world that is characterized by sin and condemnation and death. Alright? And then there is the world that is in Christ. Okay? The world that's been redeemed. The world that is heading towards the new creation. And that's characterized by righteousness and life and relationship with God and being declared to be righteous in the sight of God. It's characterized by the Spirit dwelling within us. Okay, so there are these two worlds that kind of overlap, that live alongside each other. Right? So if you've got that, people, us, human beings. All right, we are complex things, aren't we? Do you know what I mean? And again, this is, I always say this is slightly simplified, but this is the way the Bible talks about us as people. We're bodies. Spirit, and our spirit and our body is kind of connected by and interact with each other through the mind or the soul. All right, so that if you think about that, all right, now before we become Christians, everything that we are is locked into one of the two realities, one of the two worlds, one of the two creations that there is in existence. The world of sin and death. Alright, so that's where we are before we become Christians. Now, what happens when we become a Christian? Okay, this. Alright, so I don't know if you were, like, as Liz was reading some of this stuff from the start of Colossians 3. Paul makes some extraordinary claims. You've been raised with Christ. Yeah? You are with Christ seated at the right hand of God. And if you know your Bible, you'll know Paul says these things quite regularly. You know, in Ephesians, he says the same things. Romans chapter 6, he says, you've died with Christ. You've been raised with Christ. You're ascended with Christ in glory. And you think, how on earth do we make sense of all of that sort of language? Because, patently, I'm still in Ipswich. Right, I'm here. Like, right here. Right now. This is where I am. What does it mean to say I am seated with Christ? What does it mean to say that I've died? I'm died. You might think I have by my preaching, but I assure you, my heart is still beating. What does it mean to say I've been raised with Christ? What does that mean? What does that sort of language mean? What does Paul mean when he says that you are hidden with Christ in God, and that when Christ appears, you will appear with him? What does that mean? I mean, it's encouraging and it's exciting, but what does it mean? Well, what it means is this, that spiritually, when we become Christians, we are united to Christ in a way that is so deep and so profound that his life becomes our life. His death becomes our death. Right? The old ancient preachers used to talk about it like a needle and thread. Yeah? When you're joined to Christ, you know when you're sewing? Like, because I sew often. If one was sewing, hypothetically, all right, you get a piece of cloth and you stick the needle through the cloth and you pull it through to the other side. All right, it's not just the needle that goes through. What else goes through? The thread. Brilliant. So Jesus is like the needle. We're like the thread. Right? We are joined to Jesus. Jesus goes through death. He goes through this dividing line between the old creation and the new creation. Right? He dies and he's raised again into new creation life and is ascended to be with his Father, sits on the throne of God, ruling through all creation, and he's getting ready to come back, as our creed says, to judge the living and the dead. Okay. But it's not just Christ who does that. Not just the needle that goes through. Anyone joined to Christ goes through with him. Alright, so that's what Paul means. It's like spiritually, you have already died. Spiritually, you have already been raised. Spiritually, you are already seated with Christ on the throne of God. Right? Remember that next time you're not sure whether you're going to make it or not. Alright? The Bible is like, you've already made it. You're already there. Right? You're just waiting for your body to catch up with what has already been made true about your spirit. Alright, so our body, yeah, that is still locked into this fallen world. We get that. We're made of the same stuff. We're kind of connected to it. When we die, right, and we will be given a new body, a resurrection body in the new creation, that will allow us all to be over on this side. Or every part of us. Until then, we're kind of living in two worlds at the same time. Yeah? We're kind of, part of us is locked into this fallen, broken, sinful world that we're so familiar with. Our body is still locked in that, but our spirit has already gone through to be with Jesus in the new creation. Alright? Already with him, seated in the heavenly realms. And your mind, remember the mind, if you like, or your soul, is that's how your body and your soul are interacting with each other. So there's this kind of huge tension in your life as a Christian. Now, you might not be able to identify with this. I identify with this a lot. This makes so much sense in my experience. Where, you know, there's some ways in which you really, really, really want to be like Jesus. And there are some ways you don't. There are times when you feel forgiven. You feel like you are so close to the Lord. And there are other times when it feels like you're just overshadowed with guilt and shame and condemnation. You think, how can these two experiences be in the same person? And sometimes within moments of each other. Well, it's because you're living in two worlds at the same time. You're living in two realities at the same time. Spiritually, you've gone through that. You're with Christ in his new creation life, seated at the right hand of the Father, in him, already glorified. But you're also, at the same time, living in this fallen, broken, sinful world. And your mind is being pulled in two directions. Which is why Paul starts Colossians 3 with this idea of set your heart, verse 2, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Does that sentence make sense now? Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. There are these two realities shaping you at the same time. And Paul's like, right, which one of those two is going to shape the other? Are you going to allow your body locked into this world with all its sinfulness and brokenness and fallenness? Are you going to allow that to define you? Because if you allow your mind to gravitate towards this, to focus on this, to think about these things, if you allow your heart to be shaped by what in the Bible are your fleshy or your bodily desires, then you will be kind of overwhelmed by that sense of brokenness and sinfulness and condemnation. But Paul's like, don't do that! Alright, set your mind where? On things above, where you are hidden with Christ. Right? Now, Paul's like, look, learn to think of yourself primarily in terms of where you've already gone spiritually and where eventually your body will catch up. That's what you've got to learn how to do as a Christian. Right? Think of yourself. Allow your mind to dwell in, to be shaped by the reality of what is already true of you in Christ. You've already died in Christ. You've already been raised with Christ. You've already been exalted with Christ. You are already seated with Christ in the heavenly realms on the throne of God. Your body in Ipswich. Yeah, that's tough. But spiritually, you are seated on the throne of God in Christ already. And Paul said, let that be what determines how you think of yourself. Let that be what determines the decisions that you make about how you think and feel and live and relate to each other. Let that be the truth that shapes you. Be shaped by who you already are in the new creation, not allowing yourself to be dragged back into this old fallen world. All right? You died with Christ, Paul said in Colossians chapter 2, verse 20. You died with Christ to this world of sin and condemnation and death. And Paul launches into Colossians 3 with, you have been raised with Christ. You are seated with Christ at the right hand of God. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. Think about yourself in those sorts of terms. All right? And if you do, Paul says, if you do, right, you will slowly experience the Spirit at work changing who you are, changing the way you think, changing the way you feel, changing you so that you are increasingly shaped by the reality of what you are in Christ. All right? And this is, we have to get this. All right? We're going to hear Paul talk a lot about don't be like this, be like this. Don't behave this way, behave this way. All right? But we need to understand why Paul thinks that's even a possibility. And he believes it's a possibility because we're no longer totally defined by this world of sin and condemnation and death. That actually we can be defined by who we are in Christ. We can be defined by the life that we are already living in spiritually in the new creation. And you see, it's this transition in Christ that has taken us out of this world and into the world to come. That is the only way that anybody can ever experience the kind of change that is constantly being held out to us in the Bible and that we're invited to experience. All right, one of Paul's big things in Colossians is, look, it's so easy to feel insecure as a Christian, partly because of this ambiguity of our experience. And we can often find ourselves thinking, oh, I should be a much better Christian than I am. Oh, I should be like, you know, more of the knowing I'm forgiven, less of the feeling condemned. More of the living like Jesus, less of the living like me. You know, more of the love and the compassion and the peace and the gentleness and less of the viciousness and the gossip and the slander and the anger and the resentment and the bitterness. And because we have that because we live in these two worlds. Right? But it's so easy for us to misunderstand that and to think, oh, I must be missing something. All right? I know I'm a Christian, but there must be something more. There must be something else that I need to experience or something else I need to believe or something else I need to buy into so that I can really get going as a Christian. And Paul is like, all the way through Colossians, Paul has been saying, no. It's about Jesus. Right? The Spirit wants to bring you to Jesus, unite you to Jesus, teach you to be like Jesus. Because it is only in Jesus that we make that journey out of a world of sin and death and condemnation and into a world of life and righteousness and freedom. A world where there is a future and a hope. Paul's like, only by being caught up in the death and resurrection of Jesus can you have any hope of being different, of being changed, of being transformed into the likeness of Jesus, of becoming again the people that we were created to be. Now, when we get this, Paul expects that we will want to declare a kind of total war on the reality of our sinfulness. That we will have a zero tolerance approach. Right? Just set your mind on things above. Right? Think of yourself as defined by, shaped by who you are in Christ. Right? Set your hearts on things above. Let your desires, your appetites, your longings all be oriented towards who you are in Christ. Right? So what does that mean for, the way in which this old creation kind of is keeping pulling us back, keeps wanting us to come and be a part of it, to live the way it wants us to live? Paul's like, well, you're going to have no truck with that. Right? If you understand what Christ has done, if you understand who you are in Christ, where you are in Christ, you're just going to be like, I don't want that at all. I want this. And so you're going to be straining constantly, like pulling everything you can do to kind of orient yourself, to gravitate towards, to grow into who you are in Christ and put to death. That's Paul, that's the language Paul actually uses here. Put to death whatever belongs to the earthly nature. All right? Rid yourself of all such, everything that's to do with that world. Every attitude, every way of thinking, every way of feeling, every way of behaving, every way of relating to people that is characterized by that world of sin and death. Paul's like, if you understand who you are in Christ, right? If the spirit of that Christ is dwelling within you, if you are setting your mind and your heart on things above, right? Then everything about what you are is going to be about putting to death everything that hinders you. Everything that is about pulling you back into this old world and away from this new life and this new future, this new hope that we have in Christ. All right, and Paul lists a whole bunch of examples in Colossians 3 of ways in which that old world is calling us back. All right, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, idolatry, anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language, deceit and dishonesty. All that sort of stuff belongs to that old world of sin and death. And Paul is like, man, it's total war on that. Right? Everything about who I am and how I live is going to be about getting rid of all of that. Expunging, is that a word? Feels like it should be a word, you know what I mean? Just getting it all out of the system. Getting it all out of the system so that that's not defining us anymore. Getting everything that isn't like Jesus out of our characters, out of our personalities, out of our relationships, out of our dealings with people. All right? And I want you to hear this. Christianity is not, you're a Christian now, so you have to change. That's not what Paul is saying in Colossians 3. And if you're listening carefully, you will know that's not what Paul is saying. Paul is not saying, okay, now you've become Christian, you have to change. Paul is saying, now that you've become a Christian, you are changed. You are different. You just need for your thinking and your feeling and your behavior to catch up with the change that has already happened in you. You are different. And I love this. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. Are we like, oh, I could never do that. I could never be the person that the Bible says I should be. I could never be the person Jesus says I should be. Jesus calls me to be. And when I read that stuff in the Bible, I just feel so condemned and I feel so inadequate. Right? That's not how Christians think if they understand what's happened to them in the gospel. All right, you see, I am not defined by my sin. And I am not defined by other people's sin against me. Right? I am defined by the fact that my life is hidden with Christ in God. I have already been changed. I'm just waiting for my body and my mind and my heart to catch up with what has already been done for me and in me in Christ. You see, this isn't about passing and failing. This isn't about being good enough as a Christian. This isn't about, you know, are you committed enough? If you hear what Paul says like that, you're not thinking the way Paul wants you to think. Paul is like, you have been changed. You are in Christ. You are already declared in God's sight to be good enough. These things are done. It's a done deal. Nothing can change that. You're hidden with Christ in God. Nothing can touch you. Nothing can touch your relationship with God. Nothing can touch your standing in Christ. Nothing can cause the indwelling spirit to decide to move out. Right? You have been changed. The work has been done. You are already dead in Christ, raised with Christ, ascended with Christ to glory. You're already there. Paul's saying you just need to figure that out and bring your life and your character and your relationships and the way you deal with people into line with the change that has already taken place. And Paul talks about that process of alignment, that process of the reality of our experience of life catching up with what is already true. Paul talks about that as kind of like changing clothes. Changing clothes. Right? And he kind of assumes that this is a process that's already, like, kind of done in a way. You've taken off your old self with its practices, and you've put on a new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. See, it's a change that's already happened. You're just catching up with it. You're just catching up with it. Right? We put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Well, back in chapter 1, Paul told us that we are created in, through, and by Christ. And this new self that we're putting on, this is about us being like Jesus. Thinking like Jesus. Feeling like Jesus. Relating to people the way Jesus relates to people. And that list of virtue that Paul lists out for us in Colossians chapter 3. Clothe yourself, right? You are. Again, it's this is who you are. Live like it. You are. You are God's chosen people. You are holy. You are dearly loved. Therefore, because that is who you are, what does Paul say? Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. And Paul isn't reaching out for some list of abstract moral virtues. Right? He's describing Jesus. He's like, be like Jesus. Right? That's where you are. That's where your mind is. That's where your heart should be. That's what should be defining you. All right? And it's Jesus who is compassionate, isn't it? It's Jesus who is kind. It is Jesus who is humble. It is Jesus who is gentle. It is Jesus who is patient. It is Jesus who is forgiving. It is Jesus who is loving. And Paul says, be like Jesus. Be like who you already are. Not so that you can become holy, but because you are holy. Not so that you can become a people loved by God, but because you are a people loved by God. Be who you are. And Paul says, look, we can't do this on our own. Right? And he's like, the engine room that drives this change for us is the church. All right? It's as we come together in fellowship, in worship, in mission, that the Spirit is at work driving that change for us. Paul talks about our fellowship with one another, our being peace with one another. He talks about how important it is that the Bible is so central to the life of the church. What does he actually say? Let the message of Christ dwell among you. as the church. Right? Let it dwell. Let it move in. It's not like, let the Bible, let the gospel, let the message about Jesus, let it pop over for a coffee every now and again. You know, let it pop over for a hot cup of cocoa at the end of the day so you can just have a gentle thought about Jesus before you go to bed at night. It's not even, have the Bible over for dinner. It's like, no, have the Bible move in. Have the Bible live with you. Have you ever had anyone living with you? Like, sometimes it's lovely, sometimes it's a real pain in the neck, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? You're just like, oh my days, I can't believe you're still, you just, everything I go to do, you're, but that's the way the Bible should be. It's just there all the time. When you want it to be, when you're enjoying its presence and its company, and also when you're not, and it just seems to be getting in the road and stopping you living the way your life the way you want to. It's like a house guest living in the life of the church. Always there. Always holding out for us the message of Christ. Who Christ is. What Christ has done for you. Who you are in Christ. How you are called to live in Christ. To be changed into the image of Christ. All about Him. And our worship, our singing together, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, right? Yes, we are declaring the praise of God, but did you notice Paul saying, actually, we're teaching one another? As we sing together, we're teaching one another, reminding each other of the truth of who Jesus is. Of who we are in Jesus, what Jesus has done for us, what Jesus is calling us to. As we sing together, we are reminding each other, exhorting each other, encouraging each other to pursue Christ-likeness. That's what this is about. When we come together, our job is encourage each other, inspire each other, exhort each other. Become more like Jesus. And if we turn up, do a service, have a coffee and go home and we haven't done that, we haven't played our part in the life of the church. You see, this is where the Spirit is working to change us. We've been thinking about this all term on Tuesday nights. About how everything that we do in a service of worship is about us growing to become more like Jesus. How everything that we do in a service of worship is actually training us to live a whole life of worship. Right? And that's what Paul is pushing us to understand. That it's not about making church relevant to who I am and what I have to do and how I have to live outside Monday to Saturday. It's about making all of that stuff relevant to what's going on here. So that all the way through life, we are living in a way that is oriented towards Christ and shaped by who we are in Christ. And what Christ has done for us and in us and is doing through us. Now, I'm minded to stop there because I think that's quite a lot to take on board for one sermon. But I want to give you an option because I've got like another 15 minutes worth. All right, on that bit at the end about Christian households and slavery and stuff like that. Now, I don't want you to think I've shied away from that. I don't shy away from anything. And I can preach, again, another chunk on that section if that's going to be helpful. I don't want people to be like walking out going, oh, well, yeah, but what about slavery? And what about this, you know, wives submitting to their husbands and children obeying their parents? How unrealistic is all of that? Happy to speak into all of that. But my hunch is we pull up here. And actually, the rest of it's really... I mean, what Paul actually says is very, very straightforward. It's just, you might not like hearing it. Well, that's kind of... You know, it was Mark Twain. Mark Twain said, it's not the bits of the Bible I don't understand that cause me problems. It's the bits of the Bible I do understand. And I think the problem with the back end of Colossians 3 is not that you don't understand it. You know exactly what it's saying. You just don't like it. Well, you know what? That's your problem, not mine. I'm going to pray, and sit down, and we'll carry on with the rest of the service. All right? So, Father, we want to thank you for this amazing vision that you lay before us of our faith and what it means to be in Christ. Thank you for the way in which in Jesus you have done for us so much more than anything we could ever have hoped for or imagined. You know, Father, we think about it, and it's like, oh my days, like everything. And it's already done and completed. You've achieved for us in Christ far more than we usually are able to kind of remember and recognize. And so I pray first that you will help us to dare to believe that what Paul teaches us is true. Lord, that we can have absolute rock-solid confidence and assurance in our relationship with you. In our finishing the race. In our being loved by you and accepted by you and treasured by you. And Father, that you would help us to see who you've made us to be. And then, Lord, we have to navigate the dissonance between that and between so much of our experience, so much of our experience of who we are and how we behave and how we think and feel and treat people and treat ourselves sometimes. Well, Lord, help us close the gap. You know, help us to set our minds and our hearts on things above where we are in Christ. And help that be the thing increasingly that shapes us. And help us as Christians to encourage one another and to support one another as we press on towards that. Because sometimes it's hard to disentangle ourselves from this world, Lord. We struggle. You know, there's patterns of behavior that have defined us for decades. And breaking those habits is tough. And we need each other's help. And we need to know the work of your Spirit. So we leave ourselves, as it were, vulnerable before you now. And we ask for your Spirit to do this work in us. Help us to put off the old self and to put on the new self. And to catch up with the truth and the reality of who we now are in Jesus. And we ask it in his name and for his glory.